Well, welcome to your accelerator for September 26. My name is Chad Ralphs, and I serve on the board at Christ Community, and I get the privilege and the honor to bring you today's accelerator from beautiful Seattle, Washington, as I'm on the road, and thought it'd be fun to have a few little boats in the background as beautiful location as this. So early tradition, today we're looking at the book of Haggai, and early tradition tells us that Haggai was a priest who, like Ezekiel before him, also became a prophet. And tradition tells us that when he died, he was buried with great honor near all the other priests. And the question is, whether he was a priest or not, he clearly was a great preacher. And we learned yesterday that in 536 BC, shortly after they had arrived in Jerusalem, that Zerubbabel, phenomenal name, gotta love that. I think it's gonna catch on. I think a lot of people are gonna start naming their kids that. Here at Christ Community, he actually led the returnees in a ceremony to lay the new foundation for the temple. And after the death of Cyrus, and opposition from the Samaritans and the Trans-Euphrates province caused the work to just kind of discontinue. And in fact, so little was actually achieved that when Haggai, Zechariah, and Zerubbabel managed to get the work going again in 520 BC, they had to have another foundation laying ceremony to begin the work again. So here's where we're at. We're in the book of Haggai. The book of Haggai really probably contains the sermons that God used to motivate the people to resume the work again. So that's what we're going to be reading today. And these sermons were given probably between August and December of 520 BC. They were in fact probably almost like his sermon notes. So as you're reading that, think through that a little bit today. And really, there's kind of four main sermons that you're going to read about. In each one before they launch, we see the words, "The word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai." And in the first sermon, Haggai really tells the people that their priorities are wrong, right? Their harvests have been meager, their droughts have been frequent, and instead of building the temple, they were spending their energy and their money on themselves, in their paneled houses, in trying to care for their own needs. And you expect much, here's what it says, but see, it turned out to be little. This is God's assessment. He's saying here's the great news is that people responded to the message, right? They fired themselves up and they got to work. And you got to love that as a preacher. I mean, Haggai had to have been stoked that he gave a great sermon and people listened and responded, as many of us love to do when Pastor Mark brings the message to us, right? And every preacher loves when you hear a message that the people go out and they respond. And they did get their priorities straight. And when we get our priorities straight, we begin to hear from God. Now, the second sermon, the work is taking some significant shape, but some of the old ones are really discouraged because it's clear that the new temple, it's not going to be as great as the old one in their mind, right? And there was so much glory and splendor in the temple that Solomon and Nebuchadnezzar destroyed. And so God's word to them, he says, is be strong. He's like, I'm with you. My spirit remains among you. Do not fear. Don't worry. He's saying the lack of silver and gold. Guess what? I own it all. I have all the gold. I have all the silver. I have everything I need. I will shake the nations. And here's a quote. The desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill the house with my glory. God's glory is better than any silver, any gold. And God's saying, I'm in control. Don't worry. Stay encouraged. And, you know, this sounds like a messianic prophecy. Sorry for that. And it points really towards the time of Ezekiel's later day glory. It's true, however, that the prophecy may be seen as being literally fulfilled when Jesus Christ comes in his glory to the temple. And so we see, you're going to read a little bit about some prophecies of look for that as you're reading of the prophecy of Jesus coming in the temple, and just the movement there and the connection there is pretty cool. Now let's move on to the third sermon again. It explains why the fullness of God's blessing has been withheld from the people, right? Their unwillingness to obey God and the rebuilding of the temple has kept him from blessing them. But now they have given themselves wholeheartedly to the task. From this day on, I will bless you, right? Everyone's in. It wasn't part, hey, it was a good response we got. We kind of ran out of gas, but we're all in now. We are in, we're excited. And we begin from this day on, God says, I will truly bless you. And when we wholeheartedly give ourselves to God, we begin to see his blessing in our lives. And then we see the fourth message is directed not to the nation, but our good old friend Zerubbabel himself, and is the most really problematic part of the book of Haggai, because through Zerubbabel did in fact come to be a great hero in the eyes of Jerusalem because of the service and the rebuilding of the temple. The words seem to imply a new phase of really world history. And there's some, I'm not going to get into the depths there, but really look at that fourth sermon, look for some more notes and some different things that I think will give you some richness of history. But the importance here is the history of Judah can be hardly overestimated. It's listed among, Zerubbabel is listed really among Joshua as one of the most important fathers of Israel. And do a little extra study on the man with a phenomenal name. So what we see today is this book is extremely relevant for us today in the time that we live as God's people, having we've in a lot of regards we've misplaced our priorities. And the people of Judah certainly believe that the rebuilding of the temple was a worthy project, and for us there's a lot of worthy projects that we have in our lives and things that we know we should be doing and as God calls us to do things, but we get so busy with our lives and with work and our kids and sports or school, whatever it may be. And we begin to live our lives without the urgency that God has put on us. And we see Haggai here really encouraging the people to fulfill God's mission, God's plan of rebuilding the temple. And, you know, they weren't doing horrible things. They were just putting their personal and family interests ahead of the work of God. And that was the thing that they were being rebuked for from Haggai. Putting God's work first, Haggai shouts, if you do, you will surely receive his blessing on your life. Don't give him the leftovers of your time and your money. Give him the first part, the best part. And if you do, you and I will find that God will bless us and guide and direct us to fulfill his purpose, his vision, his direction for our lives. So as you read the book of Haggai, dive in, study it, learn, and may God bless you. Thanks so much for your time. Take care.